You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside Miles, and each week we provide a technical analysis of the metals and cover the underlying fundamentals in the news that helps move and predict the markets. So if you would like to see the charts that Miles is getting ready to share, you can go to our website, McIlvenny.com/radio, and you can see the charts. So Miles, give us a recap of the last week.
Sure. Pretty much relaxing across the board, kicking it off with gold. Gold is down about 3% since our recording last Wednesday. For those listening, we do record midweek every Wednesday afternoon. Allows us to catch any of the Fed Open Market Committee announcements hot off the heels. Not so much this week, but if you're following along with the charts, that is what we're looking at Wednesday to Wednesday. So again, that's gold down about 3%. Currently sitting just under $4,075 currently. Silver down a little bit more than gold, down 5% this week. Currently sitting still above 51 though, Rob, $51.25. Looking at the other white metals, platinum down about 5.5%, sitting at $1,535. Seems to be kind of hard stuck right in that mid-1500 range. Yeah. Palladium, on the other hand, platinum's sister metal, and we like to look at because it kind of gives us a snapshot of the rest of the precious metals world. So palladium, like platinum, down, but down a little bit more, 7.5%, and now about $150 behind platinum, currently sitting at $1,385. Moving over to the paper markets, the S&P also down. S&P actually down a fair bit for the equities market in a week, down 2.5%, sitting at 6,650 points. And all of that down, that means that the dollar has to be up, which it is. The dollar did break back above the fabled 100 number, which has been dancing up and down for quite a while now, minus the interest rate moves here a couple of years ago. But the U.S. dollar is sitting just over 100 at 100.25. So all the metals down this week, relaxing a little bit after a pretty hectic fall, which is relatively expected, Rob. As we're getting closer to the end of the year, we got Thanksgiving coming up next week. We will not be doing a show on the holiday weekend, so hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But before we get to that, Rob, what do we want to talk about this week? We do have some chart stuff we could go into. There's a little bit of news, some gold leasing and buying international discussion. There's a couple things we could talk about this week.
Well, let's stick with the technicals for now. Looking at the 200-day moving average, and then, of course, some of the resistance and support levels. Why don't you unpack that a little bit for gold?
Sure. Let's start a little shorter term, and then we'll work our way out. Because, you know, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, as they say. I don't know who they are, but I've heard them say it before, so we'll just go with it. So yeah, we're looking at gold. I mean, if you look at just this most recent move in gold, which started there at the end of August, around August 20th, down when gold was about 3,300, and then it just sort of soared up $1,000, up to over 43, almost 4,400 by October 20th. So literally 60 days, and we saw a 33% move up in gold, which is pretty crazy in that short period of time. So not unsurprising to see it trailing back down. We've been dancing around just in the short term. What I would argue is probably your first short-term support level at the short-term 382 Fib, which is 3970-ish. We've been a little below it. We've bounced back above it. And that's sort of where the very, very short-term moving average, like the 20-day and now the 50-day, has moved up to that price. So really, we haven't seen much of a move down, Rob. You know, right. That 200-day that I know you love. Yeah. Now, the last time we looked at it a couple weeks ago, the 200-day average, gold has come up so much. The 200-day average price on gold was still below where it started back in August 20th. So it's taken a while for the 200-day to come up, but it is currently above it now. It's sitting about 34.25. So we're seeing the 200-day cruise back up like we've been expected. But, you know, we haven't touched that 200-day since 2023. 2 years ago now, it was actually November of 2023 was the last time we touched the 200-day moving average. So I don't know if we're due that type of correction, but it certainly could happen in the physical metals position at this point. I mean, nothing goes up as much and as fast as gold has recently.
Yeah, and that's true. The only event that I could see that could drive the price of gold down from here is a sudden collapse in the stock market. And there's been talk of that. I don't know a thing about how that's going to move from here. But if that does happen, yeah, you're going to see a short-term pullback in the price of gold. We've seen it several times in the last 20 years. And then it takes a few days or a few weeks to recover back to where it started from. So if it does happen, it's time to back up the truck. Don't know that it will.
Well, I think that's an interesting point to bring up because I was actually looking at this a little bit earlier. I backed my charts up back to even before I started here, Rob. So if you look back at when gold bottomed out in 2001, I would argue we're looking at a pretty similar type of pattern that we've seen since gold really started rising. It bottomed in 2015, but it really didn't start getting momentum till 2018, mm-hmm. when we finally broke above some of the previous levels, the previous highs in gold that had kind of set that long-term bear market for a few years. So looking back at the 2001 number, we had this extended rise up, and then we had a pause, then we had a pretty significant jump up to around 2006, and that felt like a heck of a move. You know, this was early in my career. I started in 05, and between the middle of 2005 and the middle of 2006, so in a year, we had a 70% rise in gold. It went from $430 to $730. Now, that sounds like chump change today, but at the time, that was a pretty substantial move. I mean, that's flirting with the all-time highs in gold going back to the 70s, and people were calling for the end of the gold bull market at that point. But then, you know, Rob, it just kind of hung in there. We ended up leveling out, you know, we came all the way down into the 500s, but it just sat there and sort of evened out around the low 600s up until 2007, mm-hmm. when it took another giant step up.
Yep.
Now we're over 1,000, and you and I both remember when gold broke 1,000 for the first time.
Yep.
Well, what we had to happen after that, we finally had a real correction in the price of gold.
But that was in conjunction with a sell-off on Wall Street. Stocks fell out of bed.
And that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it only took 6 weeks for the price of a physical product to be where it was before the drop.
Exactly.
The futures price still took a while to catch up. But if you wanted to have gold for delivery, you were back at the price before the drop.
Well, and the equities market took years, too, to get back up. The S&P going from 14,000 down to 6,600. Then it took years for it to get back to 14,000. So anybody smart enough not to panic out of the equities market, thumbs up. But you had to wait 2 or 3 years before you were even at break even again. Now, lo and behold, I'm looking at this gold chart from like 2001 to that peak before the stock market crash, that peak in 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. Man, that looks a lot like what's happened here recently. You had two giant pushes up, significant percentage increases. And up until that early 2008, nothing had really happened yet. The stock market hadn't crashed yet. It was right around the corner, but it hadn't happened yet. Nobody was certain it was going to, although there are plenty of people out there that were pretty sure it was around the corner. And lo and behold, it was.
And it was. And they're saying the same thing now, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. It might not be. Honestly, I'd rather have a stock market crash at this point and things reset than us go into stagflation. But that's a whole different conversation. That's one of my big fears.
But what we saw back then, you know, in that time frame, like you said, we are seeing that now. In fact, The Economist wrote an article, and they're trying to come to terms with Why is the price of gold at 4,000? Because the ordinary drivers, the things that occur that cause gold to jump like it has, they haven't occurred. We're not in a dot-com collapse or a global financial crisis or a pandemic. This move upward has happened without all these recessionary conditions. The S&P Right. has risen more than 30%. Interest rates remain elevated. Central banks are reallocating due to concerns about currency credibility or fiscal direction. But that's a narrative that they refer to as debasement or rising U.S. debt or, you know, all that. But if that were the case, U.S. securities would be falling and the dollar would weaken and treasury yields would rise. But none of that's happening. In fact, the dollar, like you mentioned earlier, that stabilized back at 100.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, what's going on? And the economist doesn't go there. They're traditional. They don't really want to put on a tinfoil cowboy hat like I wear. Kidding.
Now, you got a real cowboy hat and boots. I've been to your house. I've seen your horses.
But
I've
listen,
seen your Filson.
Listen, somebody wants the gold for something bigger than just a hedge against the dollar or the United States debt. Somebody is accumulating towards some future monetary goal. And we've talked about that. I mean, it's really becoming East versus West. I do find it interesting, though, on a side note, that the kind of lending from central banks and money center banks, because, you know, they used to just lend gold by the ton. You know, you could borrow a ton worth of gold and replace it at the end of the year. Lease rates were very, very low. It was a great way for companies to fund other ventures just by, you know, borrowing gold, selling it, replacing it at the end of the year. You know, the whole gold carry trade like we've talked about in the past. But now this isn't qualified people. A minimum of 5 kilobars of gold will pay you 4 or 5%. Now there's online dealers offering to pay their retail customers 3.5 to 4% annual to take their gold and lease it. Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I don't know if I can't think of a time I've seen that before.
I've seen it before, but
can,
it's rare. Yeah, it's kind of rare. And these guys are aggressively advertising. Hey, if you want to turn your gold into income, send it to us. We can show you how. Well, of course you can.
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of defies the reason for owning gold in the first place, but
I don't know if I'm a big fan of the idea personally, but you know, I understand the argument behind it. Put some income into a traditionally stagnant wealth preservative asset, but I think there's also an argument that having the physical possession and ownership of something or physical possession within like a allocated storage facility.
Correct.
I think that there's a benefit to that equal, if not greater. I mean, I have money that's working for me. I think it's perfectly acceptable to also have money whose job isn't to work for me. Its job is to be there when the other money doesn't, because like you just pointed out, we're looking at a period in time where effectively since the most recent bear market bottom, gold has quadrupled.
Yeah.
And nothing bad has happened yet.
Yeah, nothing really bad at all.
That's why I was making the correlation back to the early 2000s. Gold went from $250 to $1,000 and nothing had even happened yet. And then after the bad thing happened, well, then it doubled one more time. So most of the growth that you see in the gold is this preparation phase. I don't know a better thing to call it, but it feels like people who know more than I do are moving money to places in anticipation of something. Now, I don't know what that something is. We can speculate all we want to, but who really cares? You may not know what the enemy is going to look like, but you can hear them coming. Mm-hmm. And you start to position yourself. You put some watchmen up on the ramparts, and you maybe double the watch overnight. It feels like that's what's happening, especially with the amount of gold that's moving to even the United States. I mean, the biggest importers of gold this year have obviously been China, but the United States has imported a fair bit of gold this year.
And I think some of that is just replacing the gold that they had leased out abroad. just bringing it back as the Trump administration came to power, threatening to audit the Fed.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about the central banks dumping gold all of a sudden. That's a narrative that you'll see out there from the people that think gold is a pet rock. Well, you know, the central banks can turn around and dump it. Well, there's a reason why they're accumulating the gold regardless of the price. Don't believe that's in the cards. I look at the future and I'm like, you know, I wouldn't get too crazy. I got a 3-page dissertation from a promo about a crypto company that you could be in crypto and convert it to gold. And it's a great whiz bag thing. A client sent it to me and I just said, hey, last time I checked, your gold's up 80%. I think you've done really well without getting complicated. I don't think right now is a good time to go crazy.
I'd be curious to know what the fees involved on some of those transactions are too.
Well, it was well written, very compelling, and I just told my client, I'm just going to let that ship sail right by. I could care less. I'm not trying to leverage. I think leverage is probably not a good idea right now.
Well, I don't want to blow by what you brought up a second ago, because I think it's worth looking at. Other than us just saying we don't feel like that's something we'd be interested in. But I find it kind of fascinating. I really do find the whole let's all collectively get together and pool our gold. Because when you're talking about leasing, you're generally talking about positions at a minimum of what, 5 kilos?
Yeah.
So that's 30, 31 ounces per kilo times 5. Take your boots off, Rob, for me. Is that 150 ounces of gold? 150 by 4,000. That's $600,000 worth of gold.
Yeah, that's not your average retail buyer.
No, your average retail client generally doesn't have that. Anybody that has 600 grand in gold probably has a million or a couple million. And there are plenty of those people out there.
Yeah.
But your average retail client who's, say, following our triangle concept, the idea of having your third and something physical, preservative in nature, foundational to the other sides of your portfolio, that's a pretty big number. And most of those people that are sitting in that gold position aren't going to want to chip out that large of a percentage of their gold into a leasing program.
Where they lose control of their gold and trust on the dealer to replace it. Yeah.
Exactly. That, I think, is my biggest concern, because now you're talking about pooling in people that maybe have 10 ounces of gold or 5 ounces of gold and trying to bring hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people together to make it cost effective for everybody. And that makes me nervous a little bit. To me, it's the same argument that occurred back in the 60s and 70s, where stock market investing went from something that only the wealthy did, to all of a sudden, we have companies that start offering accounts where you only have to have a few thousand dollars on deposit in order to get into the equities market. And they started pooling all these smaller retail accounts. 30 years later, everybody thinks you should have 90% of your money in the stock market, whether you're worth 5,000 or 5 billion.
Boy, that's a really good point. And I lived through that, and you are correct. People used to leave it in the bank and they would get a decent rate of return. They felt safe that way.
Yeah. And I remember reading that story. I'm not old, but I'm getting old enough where I'm starting to forget things, Rob. I remember reading the story. I cannot remember which company it was. I don't remember if it was Merrill or Schwab
Schwab, probably a Merrill.
Whoever it was back in the 70s. And you know, when they started showing up to the trading pits, they're probably getting laughed at. Why are you doing business with a bunch of lower white collar and blue collar guys? And, you know, but all of a sudden it's like, hey, you get 300 million people together that are all putting 10 grand a piece in. That ends up turning into some pretty big leverage.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the goal. For me, one of the big concerns here with the leasing side is the location and ownership of product. And then, of course, if and when something, whatever the negative follow-up could end up being, but if or when some sort of contractual thing breaks, what's the order of payout to the investor?
What's the recourse? Yeah, we saw that a few years ago, where people thought they had gold on account and they didn't. I know Gerald Celente goes into some detail what that was like for him, where he actually lost his gold. Gone. Thought he had it, didn't have it. So
yeah. I mean, if you're sitting on 30 million in metals at LBMA and you're writing your direct contracts, that's one thing. But it does kind of make me nervous. I don't want to sit here and say, hey, anybody who's considered this, like, this isn't meant to be a conversation specifically about gold leasing, although, you know, do your due diligence, obviously.
Right.
From my perspective, it's more adding to the conversation of, you know, there's something going on in the metals market, and it isn't what the average retail client, investor, person would think it is. You know, in your head, you think market problems, buy gold.
Yeah.
Currency problems equals buy gold.
Stock market collapse.
Stock market collapse, buy gold. Real estate issues, buy gold. Really, any circle the wagons type of event that takes place, go buy gold.
But that's not happening.
No.
And the economists, let me tell you something, the people that write for the economists, they are not stupid. And they're over there scratching their heads saying, why is this happening? What's going on?
Yeah. And I don't know if I know either, at least specifically. I mean, I wasn't smart enough to see how the derivative market was going to tear the equities market apart in 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people were able to smell the fire burning. They just didn't know where it started. And maybe that's what we're seeing again now. I was looking at an article earlier today over at the World Gold Council, just looking at the amount of precious metals that's been moved around the world over the last year. And it's staggering to me the amount of gold that has left Europe and come to the United States and come to especially China. Mm-hmm. And it also makes you wonder, because some of those reported numbers, they're not mandatory. They're voluntary reporting numbers for the sake of people having some understanding of how things are moving around in the world. So gold's a bearer instrument. You don't necessarily have to report it if it gets shipped to somebody else. So a lot of that stuff gets reported, some doesn't. And I would just about bet you anything that the numbers reported are significantly lower than what they actually are.
Well, we know that to be true. I mean, there are sources that indicate China, for instance, is actually accumulating at a rate 9 times higher than what they're reporting to the World Gold Council. And those are credible. That's not tinfoil hattery. Yeah, there's something going on. We obviously see it as a division between East and West. I think this administration is doing what they can to make sure that the United States is involved in less of an adversarial relationship, but still maintaining control. I mean, we have to play the cards that we're playing with the tariffs and, you know, using the fact that China depends on us more than we do on them to our advantage, because it won't stay that way for long if we don't do anything.
So when I look at all this and I see what has gone on over the last couple of years, which is to the average investor, kind of a whole lot of nothing. In fact, it's actually been pretty good. You know, our stock portfolios are up. Anybody who owns gold has been up. Our real estate has gone up. But on the flip side of that, it's like, okay, well, our real estate taxes have gone up because the values have gone up. Oh, and our cost of living.
Well, and there's some weakness in the consumer lending sector and into the mortgage sector. So there are some trends developing that are concerning, but they haven't really caused a problem yet.
No. And gold has done exactly what it did the last time we were anticipating something negatively cracking or even breaking, like the equities market did. Yep. Gold has quadrupled in price quietly from 1,000 to 4,000 over the last handful of years. And what's interesting to me is it's like every time gold goes up, the conversation is, oh, shoot, I missed it. And every time gold sits sideways, the conversation is, well, I guess that was it. I missed it. And then all of a sudden we have another 30% rise.
Yeah.
So I think my big encouragement right now is if you look at the world and you realize the cost of living changes or your tax expenses or your education expenses, the expenses of life are continuing to rise equal to, and in some cases, even more than your investment returns are. And as we're seeing that play out here, gold does not move in a straight line. Gold takes these stair steps up. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this pattern over and over and over and over again. Look for those opportunities. And if and when something does finally crack, if that does happen, gold's going to double it did last time. But don't miss out on the tripling or the quadrupling that happens beforehand because you're reactionary. Be proactive.
Well, and take advantage of when gold levels out and it's not a crazy chase the market
exactly.
scenario.
So anybody who can afford a lot of gold has been proactive over the last year or so. Consider joining them in being proactive is all I'm going to say. Thank all of you for joining us each week as you do. So again, this has been Rob and Miles. We are Golden Rule Radio, brought to you by McIlvaney Precious Metals. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website. You can find the YouTube video version of this show at McIlvaney.com/radio. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to talk to Rob, myself, or any of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals about your personal portfolio, give us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.